Our scripture reading tonight is Genesis 13, verses 1 through 13. Listen, this is the word of God. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going to live in 2024? Will you move elsewhere? To another city, another town, another state, another country, another continent? Back in the beginning of our marriage, after only 3.5 years in Pennsylvania, we got called to New Zealand. However, that turned out to be a good choice for us because we found a very good church there and godly people, and so we did not leave the communion of the saints. Will you be careful not to leave the communion of the saints if you should move elsewhere? How important, how high on the list will that matter of church involvement and membership be in your decision? There are other matters I understand: employment, health, economics, whatnot. But don't leave out ecclesiastical fellowship. Lot did, and Abram didn't prevent it from happening, as we just read. It's a sad story, but I hope that it will be one that will leave one pristine principle of behavior clear in our minds before we go on into the new year. The Valley of the Jordan is a well-watered and fertile land. Once a year, in the springtime, the Jordan River overflows its banks. The swift-flowing stream, fed by torrents, flowing down from Mount Hermon in the north, carries with it a rich sediment of silt, which it deposits over the whole land. Also, centuries ago, in the time of our text tonight, Not only did the water of the Jordan tend to fertilize the soil and irrigate the land, but it also provided water for the numerous cattle that Lot had gotten during the time of his association with Abram. Because of its fertility, the land was beautiful and lush. The text informs us that the land before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was comparable to Egypt, and even as the garden of the Lord, Eden. The beauty of Egypt Lot had only recently witnessed with his own eyes. Of the beauty of the Garden of Eden, Lot also undoubtedly had been well informed. Tradition was most accurate in those days. The description of Eden could very easily have been transmitted to Lot. So beautiful was the Jordan Valley that it was to Lot more beautiful even than fertile Egypt. It spoke to him of the beautiful garden in the land of Eden where the Lord God had placed the parents of the whole human race before the curse of God settled over the earth because of man's sin. This was what Lot saw as his eyes scanned the plain of the Jordan to the east. Moreover, because of the richness of the soil, prosperous communities of cities were built there, chief of which were Sodom and Gomorrah. As in modern times, cities may arise overnight where rich material resources are discovered. So, no doubt, these cities toward which Lot looked had their reason for existence. They became centers of agriculture and commerce, promoting every worldly enterprise. What natural man in his right mind would not choose such a place? Perhaps in preference to the arid and rocky terrain where Abram now lived. No, rather, what child of God, such as Lot was, would not by natural inclination prefer to live there? Even if his going there meant dwelling near the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. For we read, again, let's hear it in verses 12 and 13, Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. He chose all that appealed to the eye of the flesh for its material beauty and for its potential wealth. This does not necessarily mean that he chose the wickedness of the cities of the plain. Does not the Apostle Peter tell us that he was distressed by the filthy lives of the wicked? Indeed, Lot was a child of God, who presently would have to be delivered by fire from the destruction of those cities. But when he earlier made his choice, all this was farthest from his thoughts. The well-watered plain was typical of all the material prosperity the world has to offer. There was no sign of depression there, not even a recession. It was a material utopia. And at the same time, it served in conjunction with the cities, a type of the world that is always developing in the way of destruction. Sodom is a picture of that world in the raw. Ezekiel so describes it in chapter 16 of his book, verses 49 and 50. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me. So I removed them when I saw it. Indeed, the object of Lot's choice was typical of the material world that is fast developing in sin and corruption unto destruction. That his eyes were lifted up so that he saw all the valley of the Jordan was not in itself wrong. That he even considered in his mind the material possibilities the valley had to offer was also not wrong in itself. Should not the child of God see the world and analyze carefully all that God's creation has to offer? If he knows his calling, he does not walk through this world like a horse with blinders, which allow it to see only that which is ahead of it, but not see what is to the left or right. No, rather, he observes the world as it is and properly assesses its wealth and its worth. He will even make use of that world if he can bring it into the service of his God. Then he does not serve mammon, but mammon serves him. But this is not what Lot did. His natural and burning lust was fanned into a flame, and Lot chose the valley. He chose the plain of the Jordan with all that it held out for him. Notice the steps that he took in that downward path. They were not taken all at once, but gradually, and they led him into severe trouble. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw. He wanted the things he imagined he was still not getting. He wanted what Sodom represented. So with covetous eyes, he looked that way. Verse 12, Lot moved his tent as far as Sodom. If you had asked why at this time of his life he pitched his tent near Sodom, near, and did not actually go to live in the city, he would have explained to you that Sodom was an exceedingly wicked city. He would have had reservations about being closely tied to its life. Still, he would have said it does have certain advantages to offer. Genesis 14:12 tells us that four kings attacked Sodom and Gomorrah and also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. So the same spirit that brought him to the valley brought him also into the city in time. And although it may be true that he was distressed by the sin he saw around him, sure he was. The Bible says so. His wife and daughters apparently were not. For his daughters married men of Sodom. And his wife so longed for the city that she refused to break with it completely. And at the time of its destruction, you know what happened to her. That pillar of salt. In Genesis 19:1, we are told that Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. That is, he became one of the elders of the city, one of its political and business leaders, that is, perhaps a judge. But he did not change the city in the slightest from his position of power and influence. He had not a single convert. When the judgment came, Lot escaped with only his wife and two daughters. Even their husbands would not leave. And of course, he lost all his possessions. I wonder if the author of the first Psalm was thinking of Lot and his loss when he wrote, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Yes, Lot chose the plain of the Jordan. Now understand well, Lot had to make a choice. We all have to make choices. Even the child of God must make a choice. But for him, the choice must always be antithetical. That is, he must choose the good while always rejecting the evil. The Lord introduced the principle of the antithesis already in the Garden of Eden, when he put man before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and taught him by it that man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Before this antithesis, Lot also is placed, and it was his calling to choose to be obedient to the word of God and reject all that militated against that word. But this child of God that Lot was decided to set aside his calling, and he chose bread alone. He rejected, as it were, with a wave of his hand, the things of God and his covenant, only to get, as Esau, a bowl of mush. He lifted up his eyes to see all the plain of the Jordan, and then chose to journey to the east, and in so doing, separated himself, sad to say, from the church. When he separated from Abram, that's what he did. The church was a family thing in those days. Thank God it has become more than that. But it was then. Not so much one of them has to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and one to Judea. Rather, as we read in verse 11, Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. What a sad commentary this is on an otherwise congenial and brotherly relationship. But the sadness of this separation lay not only in the fact that here were brothers according to the flesh who were being pulled apart. It was much deeper than that. As I say, Lot separated himself from Abram, the church. Was it not with Abram that God had established his covenant? Was it not unto him and his children that God had given exceeding precious promises? And that seed was not merely his son Isaac, who was yet to be born, but that seed was Christ. Without hesitation, Lot should have answered Abram's proposal to separate from each other. By the way, I'm not all that sure that Abram comes off lily white and innocent here. I believe he should have said to Lot, we're going to have to solve the problem between our herdsmen, and we're going to have to make it together where we are, even if economically, financially, and otherwise, there will be negative consequences. We have to do that. Apparently, Abram agreed. I could say the church session blew it in this case. Lot should have said, my dear uncle, I agree with you that we should stop our fighting and that we should do everything in our power to resolve our differences. But I can't leave you. That one factor makes the decision clear what I must do. I know that God has placed in your loins the hope, capital H, of salvation. And for me to get out of this land would be to separate myself really from Messiah and his church, even from heaven itself. No, uncle, the very thought of leaving you would bring me with gray hairs to the grave. Moreover, don't you see that everywhere I would go, there would be in that place no manifestation of the church of God? Not have to worry about whether they're Baptists or fundamentalists or Orthodox Presbyterian. There'll be no church whatsoever there. The decision should be an easy one. Right here with you is the only true manifestation of the church. And of that church, I must be and forever remain a living member. And what is more, Abram, if we should go through with this thing and you give me the opportunity to choose, I might naturally be inclined to go to the plain of the Jordan. Because, you know, there's another factor. There's a lot of grass and water there. But don't you see, Abram, that behind that temptation lies the wicked cities? How could I ever leave the church only for material reasons and bring up the family that the Lord has given me in that ungodly place? If I should go there and let my light shine as I should, don't you see that I would not last for a moment and they would persecute me to the death? But what is more, how can light and darkness dwell together? Such indeed would have been Lot's thoughts and very appropriate questions if he had stood at that moment on a high spiritual principle. But alas, his faith was dim and his spiritual life was at a low ebb. Lot saw what his flesh wanted him to see, and the sparkle of material gain so blinded his eyes that he could not see the things which are spiritual, and made his ears so deaf that he could no longer hear the word of God. So he departs from Abram and breaks with the church and all that that implies. And the result? He escapes as by the skin of his teeth. Then a dead wife and incestuous daughters. He journeys to the east, pulling up his tent stakes. In itself, a beautiful picture of the child of God who is called to be a stranger and a pilgrim in the earth, but only to set up his tent in the camp of wickedness. Yes, much worse, to get rid of his tent and every semblance of a pilgrim, only to purchase or build a house as a place of permanent abode. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must allow nothing to separate you from God's church. Not your sin, or even its sin. Sad to say, dear brothers and sisters, this is exactly what some children of God are doing today. Some separate for good, others for a Sunday or Sundays, seeking the pastures that are green and lush, and desiring things that are not bad in themselves, whether it be a new job or a seaside cabin. They choose to live in the arid and stony places where the Church of Christ, they know, is not found. And we're not talking that there's no Orthodox Presbyterian church there. What are their priorities? I'm afraid that all too often, on the basis of the principle of freedom, the church has lost her distinctive character in the minds and behavior of them. The first and most direct application of this text is found right here. You choose God and His church, God and His things that are above. Yet further, and I must say this, the choice of where one will live is, of course, not a simple one. There are other matters that must be considered, of course. And I must be careful not to make a one-on-one application of what happened in Lot's case with such a decision in your day and age. There is, to be sure, much mobility and freedom in our case. Jobs change. Advancements offer themselves. Opportunities are presented. And they are usually not bad in themselves. Often God will lead us to make those changes. Nevertheless, a principle surfaces here in this text, Genesis 13, 1 through 13. And it needs to be understood well. It is this: the child of God is foolish at best and possibly courting disaster at worst, if in connection with a decision on the matter of where you live, you were to ignore such considerations as the church and the covenant community of God's people. The church may not be able to answer it for you, but neither will she allow you to make the choice without considering the implications. The story of Lot was not divinely included in the infallible scriptures simply to tell us what happened to Lot. Rather, it was preserved for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Nor was this story preserved for us simply to teach us how far a child of God may go without being eternally lost. Rather, it was written that you may learn not to go in the direction Lot went. Indeed, Lot, a child of God, was saved, but it was by fire, in the most literal sense of the word. Positively, this text teaches you to seek not the things which are perishing, but the things which are above, which have abiding value. You are to live antithetically, in loving obedience to the will of God, and hating that which is evil. And surely not ever to separate yourselves from the purest manifestation of Christ's church, and abide in it as living members thereof, that you might not choose as Lot chose, which will yield sorrow and loss in this life, that if not of eternal consequence, will surely interfere with your glorifying God and enjoying Him here on this earth. Amen.